Today I've been inspecting highways of silk, spurred on by a friend of mine who asked me, you know, what do you do about them at Baltimore Woods or Rice Creek? This is the story. One of our most consistent nature-related naiveties is that in a perfect world there would be no need for villains, such things as insect pests, predators, and other various vermin. We seem unable to comprehend that nature has no balance sheets in which good and bad or pretty and ugly are toted up on different sides of the ledger. What does exist is a system of balances in which every growth factor is roughly balanced by one desire to tear down or break apart the natural accumulations. If that were not so, every forest would soon be a mountain of woody debris so deep that it would bury the very trees which formed it. Bacteria, fungi, and insects are only part of a natural system which distills from each season's growth the building blocks for a new measure of soil and nutrient. In every animal community, the predator, the scavenger, and the disease organism perform a similar function. If this were not so, every field would soon become a mountain of mice and grasshoppers, whose collective appetite would exhaust the available food supply and set them on each other. All of this may seem to have some bearing on what follows. The highways of silk, as some may have guessed, traverse the branches and twigs of those apple and cherry trees which are presently invading the former crop fields at Baltimore Woods or at Rice Creek. They were laid down by apple tree tent caterpillars, whose gossamer nests are so abundant this year. The tent caterpillar, a species of moth native to America, is partial to members of the cherry and apple clan, although they can be damaging to orchards and produce unsightly results on shade trees. There are two things about their relationship with the plant that have helped them to survive despite their essentially destructive habits. They are creatures of the semi-open areas where their favorite species of trees crop up like weeds. So even if they did kill their host trees, there would be a new crop within a brief span of time. Anyway, although they certainly are not helpful to the trees they attack, they do not kill them. This is their second survival factor. It starts when the adult, a smallish, slightly hairy, tawny-colored moth, lays its cylindrical band of eggs on the twig of an apple or cherry tree. The egg mass appears as a shiny sleeve with tapering ends. If you examine them with a magnifying glass, you can easily see the individual eggs. There may be over 200 eggs in one mass. About the time when the buds are bursting on apple and cherry, the caterpillars emerge from the eggs and begin feeding on the new leaves. They also select a sturdy crotch where they begin to spin a silken nest. As they grow, the nest grows too. They forage over the tree section by section, completely defoliating it as they go. On each trip from nest to lunch counter, they lay down a strand of silk. Over a period of several weeks, these silk strands form a veritable highway over limbs, branches, and twigs. The nest is a nighttime a home and a refuge against the sun and the wind. It's a common thing in the heat of the bright sunny day to find the whole pack congregated on the shady side of the nest. As you approach them, they begin to twitch in spastic fashion. The effect is that of a seething mass and can be somewhat unsettling. It is thought to deter some would-be predators. The few species of birds which regularly feed on them, I've seen cuckoos, orioles, and catbirds at their nests, do not seem to provide very effective control. When full grown, the caterpillars descend from the tree and search out a sheltered spot where they can spin their cocoons. This accounts for the number of people who report the larvae trying to enter their houses. This occurs about mid-June or July, perhaps 6 weeks after leaf emergence. The cocoon is an elongated fuzzy oval, about an inch long, which seems to be lightly powdered with talcum. You may find them under loose clapboards, lawn chairs, wood piles, and abandoned boards that are leaning against others. The adults emerge in just over 3 weeks, mate, and deposit their egg masses. The species is cyclic. Cold, rainy springs seem to devastate them. The main virtue of the species may be in controlling the speed with which wild cherry, plum, and apple invade abandoned fields. Outside of the effect on orchards and ornamental trees, they're not really harmful. They can be effectively controlled in your yard at the egg mass or early larval stages by physical or chemical means. Burning the tents can damage trees. If you have a problem with tent caterpillars, consult your local county extension agent. That's what I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.